Now, this portion of scripture that we've just read, you find it in Luke, which we just read, Matthew, and Mark. It's not in John. It's not in John. It's amazing, that, isn't it? You'd think that the healing of people would be in John, because it speaks of the divinity of the Lord and his power and his glory. But it's not in John. Just a number of short verses. That's all it is. And yet, when you consider these verses, the whole life of the Lord sort of spheres around it. It's amazing. Just these short verses. But let's step back a bit. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 17 to 19, Jesus read from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61, as we would know it. Remember, now in the old times, they wouldn't have had chapters and verses as we have today, for easy reference. But the Jews would have been very, very familiar with this portion of scripture. And it tells us that Jesus read these verses, and it says to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, heal the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that was the bit that stung them. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. After Jesus read this, he sat down and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amazing that, isn't it? The scripture that they had read and known so well was now fulfilled there and then in their ears. In some ways, Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 19 is a purpose or mission statement by the Lord. He's actually setting out what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. It's his mission statement. He's going to be focused on the gospel. But it's not the gospel as we know it today. It's the gospel of the kingdom. He came to this world to set up God's kingdom upon earth. And it was to the Jew first. The Jew was the chosen people, the chosen nation of God. They were to witness and testify in the world of God's power and glory. And yet when we look in the Old Testament, we can see oftentimes they would go their own way. The Bible says they would do what was right in their own eyes. And many people are doing that today though, aren't they? Doing what is right in their own eyes. Making up their own mind. They're taking a bit from here and a bit by there. And they're making up their own rules and regulations. Look at the state this country is in, this nation. This nation that once was regarded as a Christian country. Do you know, it never truly was. But isn't it nice to be regarded as a nation that is Christian? But you know, you can see how far men, women and children have come away from the things of God. And you look into the Old Testament and you can see a figure of that in the nation of Israel. How they often turned away from God. He came to liberate people. To set them free. Those demon possessed. In the New Testament we often read about the Lord casting out demons. And the demons themselves declaring who he is. Thou Son of God. Thou Son of God, even the very demons themselves would declare who he is. We see the Lord doing many, many miracles. But you know, up until this point, many of his miracles were on the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Now we don't partake of the Sabbath today. In the New Testament, the Sabbath's never been done away with. Let me make that perfectly clear. The Sabbath has never been done away with. It's just been set aside for a moment. And one day that Sabbath will be celebrated again by the Jewish nation and all the people of the world. But that's way ahead in the future, in the millennium. Until that time comes, the Sabbath is set aside. But it's important to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing these miracles on the Sabbath. And this is what was irksome to the leaders of the Jewish nation. The Pharisees, the scribes, the high priests and so on. It was irking them. It was winding them up. He was doing these things. He was working on the Sabbath. More so the Pharisees. They were really getting twisted and wound up with the Lord. The Pharisees. You know, there was a time when the Lord spoke to the Pharisees and he called them whitened sepulchres. Looking clean on the outside, but yet dark and dirty on the inside. Isn't that a picture of us? You know, we can put on this persona, we can show the world, I'm a fine person. But yet deep down inside, when we examine ourselves, we realize how sinful we are. When we examine ourselves. But you know, these people, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were putting themselves on a pedestal. No doubt they started off as something good. You think of the gap between the Old Testament, as we call it, and the New Testament. There's 500 years in between. 500 years. And we call that the 500 years of silence because the Lord didn't speak during that time. And many times the Jewish nation was overtaken by the nation surrounding them. And it was during that time that a family called the Maccabees rose up and rebelled against their captives. And they took Israel back. And it was during that period that these people, the Pharisees, a sect, grew out of it. And it must have started off as a good thing, because when you think about it, it was all oral. They learned the scriptures off by heart. They learned the scriptures off by heart. And many people do that today. Yet it is absolutely meaningless to them. It's just in the head. You know, these people, the Pharisees, they developed laws to go alongside the laws of God. We have the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And they, within them are the laws of Moses, the Jews would call them. But these people added to it. And you know, when you think about it, when you work it out, they developed a system of 613 laws. 613 laws added to the Word of God. Christine did a study on this, and I pinched it from her. 365 negative commands within those 613 laws. 365 negative commands. That's one for every day of the year. Isn't that amazing? They had 248 positive laws. By the time the Lord Jesus Christ came, their laws had produced a heartless, cold, and arrogant brand of righteousness. Don't we see that today in religion? Don't we see that all around us? And it's so sad, isn't it? Because it's the blind leading the blind. We have so many denominations, so many different groups of believers, as so-called, all coming under the banner of Christendom. But yet we're all divided. Doesn't Satan love schism? Doesn't Satan love to divide and conquer? It's so sad, isn't it, what's happened? You go back to the early church, go back to the book of Acts, and see where everybody had one mind and served the Lord and served each other. But this was subjugation. They subjugated the people with their laws and their rules and regulations. They had new laws continually need to be invented for new situations. That's what happens when you have legalism, because you change for every circumstance. And these people, they had to continually change and invent new laws for new situations as they arose. How confusing is that? You know, the Word of God is straightforward. It tells us how to live out our lives, how to give glory to God. Accountability. You know, as a believer, we're accountable to God. But these people replaced it. Their accountability to God is replaced by accountability to man. Because they got somebody watching over them. Talk about the Taliban and Sharia law. This was nothing in comparison. You know, amazing, isn't it? How men can take over and set their own rules and regulations. And this is what was happening when the Lord came into the scene. These laws reduces a person's ability to personally discern. You know, God wants you and us, you and me, to be able to discern things for ourselves. By using the Word of God, Say in prayer, what would the Lord want us to do? How can I serve the Lord? But here was rules and regulations that they laid down. Do you know what else it creates? And this, I don't know about you, but it really winds me up. It creates a judgmental spirit. We're judging everybody. It's as though we're policing everybody. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you did that, did you? And it's so judgmental, isn't it? You know, I know somebody that went into a pub for a meal. Wow. They were cast away because they went into a pub for a meal. Drunkard, they were declared as. You don't go for a meal. So judgmental, isn't it? You know, we see these things happening all around us today. These laws and rules that they'd set, they create inconsistencies. Because what you find is these people who are so legal, these Pharisees and so on, they will stand back and make judgments, but they'll do what they feel is right for themselves. It's okay for me. I'm not really doing what I'm telling them not to do. And they make all sorts of excuses for themselves or for other people that they like. And it's inconsistent. The word of God is consistent. It's consistent. You won't find inconsistencies in the word of God. It's there set out for us how to live out our lives to his glory. These laws create a false standard of righteousness. You know, the Bible tells us there's none righteous. No, not one. Not one. And yet these people would stand on the street corners and they would have their phylacteries, which are the little box of scripture, and these boxes would be growing and growing and growing. They'd look like Daleks. They'd have these things on their head and they'd have them on their arms, and they'd enlarge the hems of their skirts, and they'd be walking round, and people would hear them walking because of the sound of their skirts and the little jangle bells on the bottom. And people would step out of the way for them. Self-righteous. There was nothing, no glory to God in that. And yet many people can do the same. You know, we can turn up with our Bibles and we can have our Bibles under our arm and we can be walking down the street and saying, look at me. No, it's not about what we look like. It's how we live our lives to the Lord and give glory to him. These laws became a burden to the Jews. If they were found in fault, if they found that they'd done something against their laws, they were cast out of the synagogue. They were cast out of the synagogue. And these laws were strictly external, so they could be examined. Amazing that, isn't it? You know, when we see that the laws of God, they're in our heart. They're in our heart. And it's how we live out our lives to the glory of God that we're judged upon. You know, the most important thing is that these laws were rejected by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he shows that. He proves that by going out on the Sabbath days, the Saturday, and healing people, curing people, and these Pharisees and scribes considered it as work. Isn't that amazing? They considered it as work. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Sabbath himself. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is stating that he is the Sabbath rest. We can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be concerned about rules and regulations and laws. Because if our heart is right with the Lord, then everything else falls into place. And I ask you a question. I have to ask you, is your heart right with the Lord? Or are you just religious? Are you self-righteous? Or are you righteous in the Lord? You have to ask yourself these questions. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Here the Lord is saying it's the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the Jubilee year. A celebration every 50 years. The Jewish tradition would celebrate the Sabbath of Sabbaths. And the Lord is declaring himself the Sabbath of Sabbaths. The rest. You can rest in him. Jesus is stating that he is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And ultimate rest is only found in him. Only him. We look in all different directions, don't we? For peace of mind and peace of heart. And the world has nothing to offer. The world has nothing to offer. We have our moments, of course we do. We see our children being born and we have joy and we see them moving on and all sorts of things like that. And we have that moment of joy and we have the peace. But you know, there's no peace like the peace in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. These Pharisees, they added so much to the word of God and they were taking away the peace that we can enjoy. The Lord Jesus Christ, he defended himself by speaking to them about the word of God. They challenged him about doing work on the Sabbath. And he turned it back around on them, you see, because he knew they knew the Old Testament. And he said about David, the king, or before he became king, that David on the Sabbath went in and ate the showbread. Do you know? And it was okay for him to do it, because it was better to eat the showbread than to starve. Than to starve. Is it right to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? He was posing this question to them. In Matthew chapter 12 verse 7, there's a parallel passage, which is Hosea in the Old Testament, chapter 6 and verse 6. And the Lord was quoting this, and it's saying that God does not want ritual service without the heart. You see, the heart must be right. The heart must be right. He doesn't want ritual service. This is what we do, and this is what we do every, you know, same day, same time, same place. No, we've got a spontaneous God. We've got a God who will want you to react to his leading. Not because we've got a set of rules and regulations. God wants service from the heart. The Sabbath was made for the benefit of man and not vice versa. The Sabbath, the rest, the day that the Lord rested on the seventh day, it was made for man, not vice versa. The Pharisees made the Sabbath more important than humanity. Isn't that happening today? Amazing, isn't it? Just think about it. Humans were serving the Sabbath. It was a burden to them. The Sabbath was supposed to serve mankind and to be a benefit to mankind. He tells them in Luke chapter 6 that the Son of Man has authority over the Sabbath. He has authority over the Sabbath. He's making another claim to his deity. You know, whenever the Lord spoke to these people, the Pharisees and the scribes and those in authority, he always made sure that he made a claim of his deity. He always made sure. It wasn't hidden. You know, so often in the Christian circles, they speak about his deity after he rose from the dead. But he was declaring to these people all the way along his deity, that he was the Son of God. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Their purpose was to test him, to see if he would cure on the Sabbath day. It was through the Pharisees and the scribes that the synagogue system was set up. Prior to them coming into the scene, it was only worship in Jerusalem and at the temple. But the Pharisees, they broke away from that, and they said, no, you can worship anywhere. Doesn't have to be the temple. You can worship anywhere, at any time. You can pray anywhere, at any time. Now, this is something that we follow today, isn't it? That we can pray anywhere. But their hearts were not right, because what they were doing was breaking God's system of praise and worship. The synagogue system was set up. It was not right for a person who was deformed or ill to go into the temple to worship. And they probably brought that system into their synagogue worship. So it's strange that this man with the withered hand is there in the synagogue. It's almost as though they've set up a trap. They knew that the Lord would come to the synagogue. And it was almost as if they were waiting for him to heal this man, to work on the Sabbath, so they could condemn him. Amazing, isn't it? You know, this man was sat there. He was probably trembling. He's probably thinking, why am I here? I shouldn't be here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he calls him forth. You see, he doesn't do anything. He just speaks. And it's not unlawful to speak on the Sabbath. And so he just speaks. And he says, put forth thy hand. Put forth thy hand. And as the man stretched forth his hand, it was the same as the other. And that must have been amazing for him. My brother-in-law, he had clawed hands from welding so much in the cold and so on. And he couldn't do anything with his hands. And he had to go before one of these boards. And the person said, right, there's a pea there, can you pick that up? And he went down and he picked it up with his two fingers. And they said, there we are, then you're okay to work. Amazing, isn't it? But you know, he was okay because he could declare that he couldn't work and he could claim benefits. This man, there was no system of benefits for this man or anybody else that couldn't work. They were surviving on what was given to them. Can you imagine the joy in this man as his hand came forward and it was made whole like the other? And the Lord Jesus Christ did it with just a word. Just a word. That's amazing, isn't it? Your life can be changed with just a word. A word from the Lord Jesus Christ. Instantly. You know, it didn't take a while for this man. He didn't have to go on physio and all sorts of things. Hand came out, cured. Wonderful, isn't it? Do you know, if I was there, I think I would have been clapping. I think I would have been shouting, wonderful, joy. But what happened? These Pharisees looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ with evil hearts. And they went out on the Sabbath day. They had been in the synagogue, a place of praise and worship. And they go out and they plot against him to murder him. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that tell you something? Why were they at the synagogue, a place of worship, on the Sabbath day, the day that's set aside for worship for God? And their hearts are so evil and black. Amazing, isn't it? We can see the depth of man's heart. Man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? These people plotted with the Herodians, with the high priest, the scribes. These Pharisees had plotted to destroy this man Jesus, one who was only doing good. Do you know, you might say, well, what's that got to do with us today? Well, many people are doing the same. They're actually trying to destroy God. They're trying to get rid of God, trying to get rid of Jesus. You know, the Christian churches in China have had an order from the government to replace any pictures or icons with a picture of their president. In their churches, their places of gathering, they're not to have any verses of scripture at all. And we see this not only in China, but throughout the world. You've only got to read about the persecuted churches. And you know, without trying to frighten anybody, these things are coming into this country. They are coming into this country. Where pastors are out on the street and they're preaching and they're being arrested, being accused of hate crime. And all they're doing is presenting the Word of God. All they're doing is presenting the Word of God. We're surrounded. Satan has his army. Satan has his army. And he's doing his utmost to destroy the church. But let me tell you this. He's been doing that, going against God since time began. He's defeated. He's defeated. Satan was crushed on the cross. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he died upon that cross, as he suffered, bled and died for you and me, as he bore our sins upon himself, he crushed the serpent. He defeated him, fulfilling the scripture that was laid out in Genesis chapter 3. The seed shall bruise his heel. He shall bruise the head of Satan, the serpent. Amazing, isn't it? Do you know, scripture is fulfilled. What are you going to do about it? You see, whenever we look through the word of God, we see nothing but truth. We see nothing but truth. We're surrounded by Satan's armies, but yet we're on the Savior's side, the victor's side. He's already defeated him. Are you going to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you going to wallow in the things of the world? There are so many people who are far from Christ, who come to a place like this, who are religious, yet have never truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine yourself. Are you religious, or are you saved? Are you ready for the glory of heaven? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants for you. He came to seek and to save, and he was demonstrating to the nation that he was going to set up the kingdom of God upon earth. But what happened? They listened to the legal, religious people who plotted his death, who said, "Away with him, crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us." Do you know, if you haven't got the Lord as your Savior, then that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, "Away with him, crucify him. I will not have this man to reign over me." Where do you stand? You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ today. Not with rules and regulations. Just simply opening your heart. Confessing that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, still sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us. Did you notice that? Still sinners. He didn't wait for people to turn over a new leaf and to become a different person. He didn't wait for you to go to Bible college or go, you know, to theology college or to study the Bible or whatever. He didn't expect you to have a full head knowledge of his word. He simply wants you to acknowledge that you're a sinner, needing to be saved. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? We have an opportunity to be saved. Why? Because God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These people plotted against the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted him dead so they could have control and they could live out their lives controlling all the people in the nation. But that's not God's will. We must hand everything over to the Lord, our lives, our being, over to the Lord, and let him do as he sees fit. Are you doing that? Are you trusting him? He wants you to trust him today. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not, "Oh, I've got time yet. I've got to think about it." Do you know, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people saved. Do you think they had time to think about it? They heard the word of God. And they believed it. And that's all the word of God is asking you to do. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't be like these Pharisees. Don't be like these religious people. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did a wonderful thing. He came to set us free. And that's a joy. Do you know that freedom? That freedom in him and in the Almighty God himself. When the Lord looks down, he sees his believers. He sees those who have trusted him. But you know, he doesn't see me in my sin. He gazes down and he sees the shed blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that beareth away the sins of the world. The Lamb that was sacrificed for you and me. He sees his blood. And we come under that wonderful verse of scripture. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Never ever will your sins be called to account. Isn't that wonderful? When we think about our lives and the things that we have done, the things that we've planned, the lies that we've told, the thoughts that have come into our minds and we've dwelled upon. Oh, you might not be a criminal that's worthy of prison and so on. You may not have committed some heinous crime. But disobedience is sin. And God commands all men everywhere to repent. And if we don't repent, then we're staying in our sin. That's an awful thing, isn't it? The opportunity has been presented to each and every one of us. There will be no excuse on the day of judgment. Not one person will be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I didn't know. Not one. You might say, well, what about the man in the jungle? Yeah, well, the man in the jungle sees nature itself, and it's nature itself that cries out that there is a God. A creator. And it's him that we put our trust in, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So not one person will be able to stand before the Lord on judgment day and say, I didn't know. Not one. There will be none without excuse. It's amazing, isn't it? And those people who stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, who refused him, who rejected him, will hear those awful words, I never knew you. I never knew you. And they shall be cast out of his presence. The Bible speaks of that awful place. The Bible speaks of it as a place of fire and brimstone, a place of suffering and torment. You have an opportunity to escape that. Be selfish. Be selfish. You don't want to go to a place like that, do you? If somebody was to tell you today that tomorrow I'm going to burn you, you'd do the utmost to stop it happening, wouldn't you? So why ignore the word of God? We know what's going to happen to those who refuse him, who reject him. And these people, these Pharisees, would have known as well. And yet they wanted to hold on to some power in this world. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? Many people are selling themselves, selling their eternity, just for some time in this world. And this world has nothing to offer, because you can't take it with you. Read Luke chapter 16, it tells you about the rich man who was there in the lake of fire suffering. And he was aware of it. There was no annihilation. He was completely conscious of what was happening. And he asked for them to send Lazarus to his brothers to warn them about this terrible situation. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And he's warned us. And he's told us in his word to escape such a terrible eternity. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's only one way to be saved. Only one way into the glory of heaven. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he paid the price upon the cross for you and for me. Hope and pray that each and every one of us know him as Lord. Know him as our Saviour. And if not, then bow before him today. Bow before him today. As if tomorrow is the day that you would stand before him in judgment. Escape that awful eternity. Be selfish. That's strange to say that, isn't it? But you know, when it comes down to it, it's you have to consider. Your eternal soul. Your eternal soul. And there's only one way to escape such judgment. And in this instant, put yourself first. Come before the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. That's an old word now, isn't it? Turn away from your sin. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And be saved. You can do that now. Right where you are. Right in your seat. No ceremony about it. Just simply in your heart. Ask for forgiveness of sin. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tell someone. Tell someone. Because it tells us in Scripture that if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ with our mouth, he confesses us before the Father in heaven. Has your name been confessed before the Father in heaven? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Mine is. I'm looking forward to a day when I shall see him face to face. We have this life to live out here. And hopefully we live it out to the glory of God. A new life comes in. A new way comes in. Our new thought. All in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian life is an exciting life if you're living it. It's not boring. We often have this picture of old fuddy-duddies with their black suits and their black coats and miserable faces. But you know, a true Christian has joy. Because they're living in the joy of the Lord. I hope and pray that each and every one of us in this room now knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Let's sing our last hymn together. 486. 486. My hope is built on nothing less.